Security. every time the Liberals... culture, I guess, when I said I think we ought to decriminalize the possession of marijuana. I just think it's shocking how many of these young people wind up in prison and they get turned into hardcore criminals because they have had possession of a very small amount of a controlled substance. I mean, the whole thing is crazy. Said, well, we're conservatives, we're tough on crime. That's baloney. It's costing us billions and billions of dollars. Now think of California. California is spending more money on prisons than it spends on schools. I mean, there's something wrong about that equation.
Illegal, just like alcohol here in our state. Fox 31 Denver's Jeremy Hubbard has more on state's surprising endorsement. Jeremy?
Yeah, this is really something. Pat Robertson has made a lot of eyebrow-raising remarks in the past, but nothing quite like this. He now says the war on drugs is a failure, and he actually supports the proposal legalizing recreational marijuana that Colorado voters will decide come November.
Of the Central American leaders and what they are responding.
Well, I'll tell you, Amy, there were really three things that stood out to me about Biden's trip down there. The first one was that even though he said the U.S. government's not going to talk about this, he did acknowledge that this is a legitimate subject for debate. He raised that a number of times and thereby repeated what President Obama had briefly said last year, but which none of the lower-level officials in the U.S. government had been willing to say. So I think it's important that he's sending a message to saying that the United States will at least participate in a debate, which is more than they've ever said before. Now, obviously, that's just reading tea leaves. I think the second thing was the flimsiness of his arguments. I mean, what you saw is that the way he says, what happens if you legalize drugs? We'll have a vast bureaucracy to regulate drugs, ignoring the fact that the bureaucracy we have, the prison industrial complex, costs dramatically more than any regulatory system ever would. And I think the third thing that was significant is that Biden's trip and his words are not going to shut down this debate. This discussion now has a serious momentum. You know, it's from the Latin American President's Commission to the Global Commission on Drug Policy, then President Santos in Colombia, now Otto Perez Molina in Guatemala opening it up in the region. So this debate now is no longer going to be suppressed.
WCOM Radio, I'm Furious George. We're playing by the rules here because we do the Michael Pirate style, but trying to take on anybody else out there who might not be, including those who may be offensive to some of the potential information you might be hearing here broadcasted to our listening audience. So for those of you who are worried about that, you should know I'm Furious. I do this every Thursday, and we like to spin in crazy underground hip-hop, sometimes three or four different songs at the same time. And include sounds and bites and sometimes multi-layered bits of information about what's happening in the world, including this show, spotlighting all those oppressive forces out there, tyrannical, and many different kinds that happen to include not just the drug war, but Facebook in your head and everything else, including those poor folks who are succumbing to mass hysteria from Facebook. So look, we got all good stuff going on the radio. dedicated to folks who are standing up to that and this and all the other tyrannicalness, because you're furious. Check out furiousg.blogspot.com or go to wcomfm.org. This is 103.5 Chapel Hill Carborough. Furious.
In July, and he met not only with the current president, Felipe Calderon, but he also met with all three of the candidates, the major party candidates who are running in the election in July. It almost seems as a U.S. government that wants to line them all up even before the new leader is chosen, to assure that Mexico maintains the stance that Felipe Calderon has had over the past several years of the drug war.
Well, they can see that President Calderon is having serious qualms about the strategy. I mean, you quoted before that he was in the United States saying if the U.S. cannot reduce its demand, we have to look at market alternatives to reduce the negative consequences effectively of the failed prohibitionist policy. December, where President Calderon and others made the same sort of statement. So they see that Calderon is, you know, fighting this war on drugs. They see that it has not, by and large, been successful. They also see that his two predecessors, President Fox, is now out there openly calling for the legalization of drugs. And his predecessor, President Zedillo, has joined with the former presidents of Brazil and Colombia, Cardoso and Gaziria, as part of these global commissions to call for fundamentally different drug policies. Somebody new might step up in the way that President Santos and President Perez Molina have in Guatemala and say, enough is enough. All this rhetoric, Mr. Vice President, about winning the war against the narcos, where's the evidence that you can win that? In fact, where's the evidence that any militaristic criminal justice crackdown strategy can defeat what is essentially a global commodities market?
Is about the last person you'd expect to say something like this.
Criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just, it's costing us a fortune.
In today's New York Times, he went even further, saying he absolutely supports the marijuana legalization initiative here in Colorado, telling the paper, quote, I really believe we should treat marijuana the way we treat beverage alcohol. say that the use of this other substance is somehow criminal.
Think of the argument that legalization of pot or other drugs leads to more use and flooding into our communities and such.
Well, you know, there's really no statistical evidence to back that up. And there are a couple of examples. One example on the international level was Portugal, which in 2001 decriminalized possession of small amounts of all drugs, hard drugs, as well as marijuana. And Portugal hasn't seen exploding drug rates. They haven't seen drug tourism. What they have seen is declining rates of HIV infection and hepatitis infection.
Rather than necessarily drug markets. And also, quite importantly, they said that there must be support for experiments in legally regulating drugs, especially marijuana. But even with others, they said, let's not just close our eyes to the notion of legal regulation. Let's try to find intelligent ways to regulate these drugs so that we can reduce both the harms of drug prohibition and the harms of drug abuse.
As you see it then, what evidence is there that legal regulation of drugs would lead to the results that this group of people wanted to see?
Well, there's two pieces of evidence. The first is the obvious failure of the current approach. I mean, when you see that the amount of drug abuse around the world, HIV, overdose fatalities, either is sustained or keeps growing, you see the failure. When you see the violence today in Mexico and Central America and the Caribbean, when you see it in Africa, which is what motivated Kofi Annan to join the commission, you see the failure of this strategy. In so many respects, it's like what happened with alcohol prohibition, right? I mean, that was a period when we criminalized the popular use drug, alcohol, in the hope that we could eliminate alcohol problems. And in fact, the results were no significant diminution in alcohol use, but the emergence of organized crime, violence, corruption, overflowing prison cells, what have you. The second piece of evidence is that when you look at those countries that have decriminalized, not really legalized, but decriminalized the possession of drugs, have stopped throwing people in jail for drugs, places in Portugal or Switzerland or other parts of Europe, what you see is that there are no increases in drug use as a result of those policies, but you do have decreases in overdose fatalities, in new HIV and Hep C infections, in arrests, the number of people going to prison, what have you.
Ticks and twitches, usually associated with something closer to Tourette's syndrome. And so far, no one knows exactly why. NBC's Amy Robach first reported this story last month, and when she returned there this week, she found that whatever it is, it may be spreading.
Than a dozen young girls at Leroy High School in upstate New York have been sick with the very same problems.
I was always so active. I was always happy to be around.
Doctors who have examined the young women conclude that a psychiatric condition known as conversion disorder.
will never forgive your ass. That's some fucked up Republican shit.
California passed a bill allowing for the prescribed use of so-called medical marijuana. Since that time, 13 other states have passed similar laws. This fall, a California voter initiative that would
anxiety or mood disorders, but this is definitely real symptoms.
Examine the young women conclude that a psychiatric condition known as conversion disorder.
Stop using Facebook, stop texting, no Twittering, and So, and the belief is that the disease itself is spread through social media. So I just want you to know that I'm just not contagious.
This is a subconscious effect that occurs.
Measure the lethal dose.
Who may be prone to anxiety or mood disorders, but this is definitely real symptoms.
For the first time since symptoms started appearing in teenage girls in this small town, a 36-year-old woman not associated with Leroy High School is being treated for severe tics and Tourette's-like symptoms.
Twitches, facial twitches.
That child was also referred to Children's Hospital for video EEG monitoring, but there was also concern about some spells of unresponsiveness in that child. It could be seizures. So that's the one case that I'm familiar with.
You made the referral, right? Tell me just a little bit about why that particular treatment, why that recommendation, and what that testing might help either rule out or determine, or why that particular testing.
Doctors who have examined the young woman conclude that a psychiatric condition known as conversion disorder. And that's particularly helpful for some patients who may have true seizures. We are hoping to catch a seizure with the EEG monitoring and also document that the abnormal movements you see at the time is truly related to seizure activity. But you can do the same kind of monitoring people who have other kinds of unusual spells or other kinds of unusual movements.
To legally regulate it like alcohol. He explicitly gave his approval to the marijuana legalization initiatives that will be on the ballot in November in Colorado and Washington, thereby becoming the first national figure to really come out and endorse these initiatives. His arguments were cogent. He made the point about large numbers of arrests and the costs that are being spent on this stuff. And he's also, you know, according to the Gallup poll, 50% of Americans now support legalizing marijuana. 46% are against. That's the first time in American history we've seen a majority of Americans saying it's time to treat marijuana like alcohol. The groups that are the most resistant are by and large Republicans, conservatives, and people over the age of 65. Where only about a third in each of those groups support legalizing marijuana. That's a group that Robertson speaks to. So I think when you put this in a broader context, what you see is that public opinion, especially on this marijuana issue, is shifting very rapidly.
There's something wrong about that equation, you know? There's something wrong. And I think we need to scrub the federal code and the state codes and take away these criminal penalties. There's restitution, there are all kinds of fines, the things you can do.
But you agree to help him. Do you dare go back on him?
Putting people in jail with it. At a huge expense to the population is insanity. Well, Paul Krant.
Organizers of the Colorado campaign to regulate pop by news. Telling the paper, quote, further saying he absolutely supports the marijuana legalization initiative here in Colorado. Telling the paper, quote, I really believe we should treat marijuana the way we treat beverage alcohol. Adding, if people can go into a liquor store and buy a bottle of alcohol and drink it at home legally, then why do we say that the use of this other substance is somehow criminal? As you can imagine, organizers of the Colorado campaign to regulate pot like booze are ecstatic over this curveball endorsement.
You have not only the video but the EEG to review at the same time.
This in a broader frame, and if you say what's the target here, it really is the U.S. federal government. And I think the way we're going to see the change in the federal government is by two things coming together. On the one hand, in the United States, you're going to see at the level of public opinion, civil society, and state governments, the push to change the way we deal with marijuana. First, with the legalization of medical marijuana, then with the decriminalization, and ultimately with the sort of ballot initiatives we see to legalize marijuana in Colorado and Washington. And then on the outside of the United States, I think what's happening more and more is that more or less the elites, the political, military, diplomatic, intelligence, business community, media elites, the more that those folks are saying to their equivalents in the United States government, enough already, this is a failed prohibitionist policy, you cannot deny the need for debate, we need to devote the same amount of attention to examining alternatives to the current prohibitionist strategies as we've spent over the last 40 years trying to figure out which prohibitionist strategy might work. I think that's the way from internally and externally that ultimately U.S. government policy will change.
Ethan Edelman, I want to play for you comments Barack Obama made about the war on drugs. This was in 2004, 4 years before he became president.
In terms of legalization of drugs, I think that the battle, the war on drugs has been an utter failure. And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws. But I'm not somebody. But I'm not somebody who believes in legalization. marijuana. What I do believe is that we need to rethink how we are operating in the drug wars, and I think that currently we are not doing a good job.
That was President Obama in 2004 when he wasn't president. Ethan Nadelman, where has he gone since then?
Well, I'll tell you, Amy, when he first came in, I was pleasantly surprised. Obama made three commitments to drug policy reform when he was running for president in 2008. He said that he would roll back these racially unjust crack powder, you know, cocaine penalties, the mandatory minimum drug laws, and he did that. Not entirely, but he did it as much as could be done. Secondly, he said that he would approve federal funding for needle exchange programs to reduce HIV/AIDS, and he supported efforts in Congress to successfully do that. And the third thing he said was that the federal government would not interfere in those states where state governments had legalized medical marijuana and were responsibly regulating that. And for the first 18 months, he by and large made good on that policy. But I have to tell you, for the last 18 months, the last 2 years, his policies have been more or less indistinguishable from his predecessors. Congress, with the Republicans taking over in the House, just reinstituted the ban on federal funding for needle exchange. And on the medical marijuana thing, you know, it's a little, it's not just the raids and raiding different dispensaries around the country, because you're never quite sure whether those dispensaries are operating fully legit or not. But when the Justice Department and when U.S. attorneys are sending letters to governors and state legislators and attorney generals, and they're threatening state officials to say that if you start to regulate this and control it in a responsible manner, that's going to be grounds for federal authorities to come and arrest you, and they're scaring people like Governor Gregoire in Washington or Chafee in Rhode Island or the Delaware governor. I mean, that play, that sort of heavy-handed federal cracking down on state government and those threats, that is totally inconsistent with what the president promised. There's no legitimate basis for his doing that, and that's the point where the reform community around this issue is really focusing right now.
WCOM Radio, this is Furious George, Thursday night. Stick around, we got some bodaciousness coming up. And we want to just continue with the crazy, cool, Michael Powers style here as we've been spotlighting the insane, hideous war on drugs and the mass hysteria behind all those problems that seem to be spreading. Anyway, look, if you want to learn more about Furious George, go to furiousg.blogspot.com and we will do what we can to liberate your brain. But you gotta do what you gotta do for yourself too, you know what I mean? Stand up and join the fight. Listen, I've been playing a lot of this new stuff called Sector 7G, which seems to flow nicely with the show. I'm gonna send you away with some new stuff from Lou Kid. Thanks for listening to Mike Power Radio. I'm furious.
Why is he doing this, Ethan?
I
think that every president is scared of touching the drug issue, and they see it as the third rail of American politics, and they don't want it coming up in election season. And mind you, if his opponent is either Romney or Santorum, those guys will be even worse on drug policy than Obama has been. I mean, so it's not as if there's a challenge come from the other side. Would Ron Paul, the libertarian Republican, or Gary Johnson, the former governor of New Mexico, who tried to run for president in the Republican primaries, that argument has got some traction among younger independent Republican voters, but it's not the major threat in the Republican Party.